This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the free Radio.com app. Breaking news on the Fan is brought to you by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. No, it's not the Dante DiVincenzo news. No, it's not Giannis signing the Supermax. It's something that, once again, this probably was known by everybody. Finalist, officially, for the Rawlings Gold Glove in center field is Lorenzo Cain. Congratulations, right to number six.
I don't even get excited about that anymore.
Well, hey, first step.
You know about being a bridesmaid and never being a bride. That's exactly what's happened to this dude with this award. That's exactly
he's come close enough times. Yes. He's come close far too many times, that's for sure. Well, too many times. And hopefully this one will finally change that fortune for good Lorenzo Cain. Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. We're going to hear our conversation with Ross Tucker coming up about 20 minutes from right now. Ross Tucker, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, will join us each and every Wednesday moving forward throughout the football season at 2:48. Dude is fantastic. He talks as much football as anybody around, so he stops in with our two former Packers, and it's always fun, and you'll hear exactly why the best reason of going to Princeton is when you are a football player, and that comes up in about 20 minutes from right now. But right now, 414-799-1250, do you believe the Wisconsin Badgers season is over? 414-799-1250. We just had Jake Kokorowski on from BadgerBlitz.com, and I outlined for him, Sparky, why I believe that it is still a non-zero for possibility that the Wisconsin Badgers make it to the college football playoff. But what I mean by that is I think it's somewhere between 2 and 6 or 7% chance that they're able to make it. Now, it's a very long shot because you got to be able to first win this weekend in Columbus, and that's a team that has not really been slowed down by a whole lot of people. I believe this game is going to be a lot closer than the 14.5-point spread. I think Wisconsin is going to come in understanding the turd they laid last week, for lack of a better term. They know what they messed up on. They know that that defense is better than what they showed, and I think that they are going to come in and make it very, very difficult on Ohio State. But for them to be able to win on the road at Ohio State, get a win against a ranked Iowa team, and Iowa's not who they used to be, but it's still a ranked opponent, then also have to go on the road and face, at that point, could be a top 15 right now undefeated Minnesota team, get that win. They also have the wins against Michigan, Michigan State, for whatever that's worth. And in the Big Ten championship game, you either avenge another Ohio State game and you beat them at Indianapolis Lucas Oil Stadium, or possibly an undefeated, and right now I think this is the best opportunity for Wisconsin, is that it is an undefeated Penn State in Indianapolis. You would have wins against four heavyweights in that conference, a one-loss Big Ten team in a year where there needs to be a lot more teams to continue losing, but LSU possibly is going to have one loss. Either LSU or Alabama is going to have one loss. Auburn has a loss. Georgia has a loss. There's so many teams in the top 10 right now that already have losses, that if everybody has a loss, and then it's just Alabama or Clemson at the top, I believe that a one-loss Big Ten champion does get into the college football playoff. Do you believe the Badger season is over after the loss at Illinois last week?
This was the first time where they looked like last year. It was the first time, and I'm sorry, I don't think it's going to be the last time. Maybe I'll be wrong. I just don't think so. Ohio State scares me to death. You say they're going to cover 14.5 or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think they cover the 14.5.
But you don't think they win.
I also have a investment that they do win.
Outright?
Outright. 4.5 on the money line. 4.5 to 1.
Braver than
plus
me.
Plus 450.
Braver than me. Yeah, I don't see it, man. I just don't. I'm concerned a little bit about this. Now, you listen to Jake Kokorowski, and it sounds like, well, everything just went wrong at the same time. It was just one of those games. You just had an off day. This isn't what they've looked like the rest of the year. They'll be fine. They'll pick their pieces back up, and they'll give Ohio State a fight. Okay, fine. But now you've seen that this still has a little bit of last year in them. If they beat Ohio State, I still don't know that that's going to be enough. Because like you said, they would still have to run the table out and beat Ohio State again in order to get in. They got to beat them twice.
Either Ohio State or Penn State, they'll have to beat in that championship game. And I don't think Penn State's getting enough credit for how good they are. They're a dang good football
Penn
team.
Penn State and Minnesota will be fun in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Done as far as national championship goes and playoffs, yeah, I think they're done in that aspect. Done in the aspect of just making a bowl game, yeah, they'll be in some pinstripe bowl or some bowl on New Year's Day in Orlando, Florida, or some Capital One bowl or something. Sure, they'll
could be a Rose Bowl.
They'll be in one of those bowls.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's another thing that I don't understand. You could help me understand this. How exactly does that work now, from the Rose Bowl perspective? Is it the second best team in the Big Ten, meaning the other conference champ, or is it the second best team in the Big Ten? Because I think it's the other team that loses the Big Ten championship game gets to go. So realistically, you could have Ohio State or Penn State being ranked higher than Minnesota or Wisconsin or Iowa, however that plays out, and they don't get to go to the Rose Bowl, even though they're clearly the better team of the other three, and one of those other three teams then would get to go.
Well, if the Rose Bowl is, because it's not one of the football playoff games.
Correct.
This year. So if there's not a Big Ten champion in
the playoff,
then the Big Ten champion goes to the Rose Bowl.
But if the Big Ten champ is in the playoffs,
the team I believe that loses in the Big Ten championship game would go.
That's ridiculous. I don't. But what they should do is they ought to just say it's just an at-large at that point. If the Pac or the Big Ten go, either conference champ or in the playoffs, then we go to an at-large team after that. You don't get the second team based on that.
Go that way if like a...
Or they should say the next best ranked team in that conference should go. Versus going
that's
from the weakest
side. That's
usually
what it ends up being, yes.
It's the weakest, but you're right what's going to happen. I'm telling you right now. Ohio State or Penn State go, and then whoever's on our side, Wisconsin, Minnesota, mm-hmm. Iowa, whoever's there in Indianapolis, will then get to go play in the Rose Bowl probably, and they won't be as good as the next best team on the other side of this conference.
And that also does come into play when you go into, like, if an SMU right now, who's undefeated in a non-Power 5 team, that could be a door where they get put into something like that.
That is way underplayed. Like, that story should be a huge story right now.
What, how many guys are getting cars to play at undefeated SMU?
Hey, man. It's been a long, 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 long road back for that program. A long road back.
That's
I don't know
sure.
how they're doing it, but it's been a long time since you've been able to say SMU football and good together.
Yeah, you've gotten to say Penn State football good way before you got to say SMU, and that's disgusting.
And that doesn't make any sense.
Makes no sense whatsoever. 414-799-1250. Do you believe the Wisconsin Badgers season is over? Now, they go and play Ohio State this weekend. I believe that if they beat Ohio State, there is still a road that leads to the college football playoff.
They
got to
run the table, though, still.
They do. They have to run the table. I mean, that's
including
absolutely
winning the Big Ten championship.
They
got to
win at Ohio State. Then they got to win at home against Iowa, on the road probably at night against Nebraska. Then they get Purdue. Then they go on the road against the top 15 at that point. Right now, undefeated.
Depending on what happens
Minnesota
against
team.
Penn State. If they beat Penn State, they could be top 10, top 12 by the time
Minnesota?
The Badgers get to them. Yeah, if they beat Penn State earlier, they could be top 10, 12, 12. But then you beat them, then you have to go win the stupid Big Ten championship game in Indy against Penn State or Ohio State. Come on, man. That's not happening. They're not running the table. Come on. Nobody believes they're running the table. They could beat Ohio State, and I will be jacked. But they think they're going to run the table
so
to get to the playoffs.
If they beat Ohio State, you're still not going to believe that they can run the table.
No. You just lost Illinois. No. If you lost to Illinois, that means you're capable of losing to anybody.
Anybody is capable of losing to anybody.
No, man.
Georgia lost to South Carolina at home.
Ohio State's not losing to Illinois. That's different. South Carolina could come into this conference and be a hell of a lot better than they are in the SEC.
I'm not going to argue with that. But that's also because they've recruited at an SEC level for this long.
They don't have the same academic standards and all that other stuff.
There's so much that still has to be played through. And I think this is... The most frustrating part for me is there's 6 weeks left of this season. There's a lot of losses to be had in that SEC, and there's a lot of losses to be had in that top 10 that's going to unfold around you. Do you need a lot of help? Yes. I'm not saying that they cakewalk in with winning out here.
Hey, now to clarify, look, when I say the season's over...
They possibly have to beat three top 10 teams on the way out.
When I say the season's over, I mean over as far as going to the playoffs. And to me, that's what this is all about now as a Badger fan. It's not about just making some bowl game
in
Florida.
It's not about winning the Big Ten?
Well, if you win the Big Ten and run the table, then sure. But now you're in the playoff, like we said.
Sure.
Mm.
But say you lose to, name one. Nebraska, on the road. Say you lose to Nebraska.
And Illinois. What a horrible...
And you lose to Nebraska and Illinois. But you still get the date after you beat Minnesota on their home turf. You get to go to the Big Ten championship game as a two-loss team, and you get to win the Big Ten. That's still something. That means something in this game.
You're trying hard. I give you credit.
No, that does. That means something.
You are.
That means something in college sports. It does.
For the players.
When you're trying to... I think for the program.
But we're talking about for the fans. We're talking to the fans. We're not talking to the alum. We're not talking to the alum of Madison.
The fans of the program.
Well, I guess there are fans that are alum, obviously. Okay, so maybe we're talking to some of them. We're not talking about the boosters. We're not talking about the coaches or the players. We're talking about Badger fans and expectations.
Right, you're a fan of the Wisconsin Badger program.
Sure.
How is winning the Big Ten championship not an accomplishment?
Dude, with all the respect, call me spoiled, call me whatever you want. I watched Bielema win it 3 years in a row and then go lose. So I'm not exactly getting all excited and all pumped up because they won the Big Ten. It would be cool to beat Ohio State or Penn State in the Big Ten championship game because that's going to be considered an upset because I don't care what happens between now and then, Badgers will be a dog in that game.
And guess what? You've lost to both of them in the last, 4 years in that game?
Yep.
That's a demon, being able to win that Big Ten championship game. 414-799-1250 if you think the Wisconsin Badger season is over, or if you're like me and believe that there is still a lot more for that Bucky team to fight for and possibility of them getting into that college football playoff. It's your chance at $1,000 here on The Fan and our $1,000 roster bonus. All you need is this hour's cash, keyword, arrow, A-R-R-O-W, arrow, A-R-R-O-W. Text that to 72881. Message and data rates do apply. Make sure to listen throughout the 3 and 4 o'clock hours today, as well as starting tomorrow at 9 on the Chuck and Winkler program, filling in my man Tim Allen. He'll be in with Bart Winkler tomorrow, starting at 6, live at 5, though. We are here on The Fan with Ryan Horvat in the Chuck and Winkler pregame show. I just call him Ryan Horvat, and I've ripped on how many people on this station for calling him Ryan Horvat because I yell about it all the dang time. That's what I get.
He
That's karma.
Just listen and change the last name when we told him to. He wouldn't have had this issue. But now you've got a name that's a little bit tricky, right? A little bit tricky. Horvat, Horvat, whatever.
Horvat, Horvat, Ryan Horvat, my main man.
If you're good,
I just did a college football podcast with him and Bart earlier today.
If you're good enough, they'll remember your name.
And he is. He's becoming good enough.
He's got potential to be really good.
That's for sure. That's for sure. And he's showcasing at 5 to 6 here on The Fan, starting live at 5. We are here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. 414-799-1250. Ross Tucker comes up in 10 minutes. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan.
Whenever I see your smiling face, I have to smile myself because I love you. Yes, I do. Give me that pretty little pout, it turns me inside out. There's something about you, baby, I don't know. Isn't it amazing a man like me can feel this way? Tell me how much longer it will grow stronger every day.
Do you believe the loss to Illinois finished the Badgers in the opportunity to get to the college football playoff?
No, because if they can win out, which is obviously easier said than done, especially possibly facing Ohio State twice if they would get to Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game. And if they win out, there's a good argument for them to be made.
That's Jay Kokorowski on this show about a half hour ago, 105.7 FM The Fan, 1250 AM in the freeradio.com app. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer is here as well. He'll be out at the Bud Light Huddle tonight on the road at the Tap Room in South Milwaukee starting at 6 here on The Fan. Bill Michaels, the big unit, being joined by Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Also, Tom Kurtz of the Wisconsin Sports Stream and WisconsinSportsStream.com. Check out the Bud Light Huddle tonight starting at 6 on The Fan. And after the game tonight, Bucks and Rockets, Milwaukee back on the floor. It's myself, Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch, with you after each and every game this year. I'll be sidecasted by my man, Tim Allen. He's going to come and help me out on days that I'm working out with the Milwaukee Admirals. Tim Allen's going to fill in. But for right now, it's Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show with yours truly after the game tonight here on The Fan. Cannot wait. The first game of the season as the two last MVPs in the National Basketball Association go at it in Houston tonight. Game starts at 7. We're on right after the game. And John Horst, the GM of your Milwaukee Bucks, on with us at 5:20 today on The Fan. Also talk about it with Eric Name coming up at 4:48. 414-799-1250. Do you believe the Wisconsin Badgers season is over? Do you feel like the Badgers season is over? Now, this is a tweet that comes in and is along that line. Milltown Mafia says, yep. I mean, I'll be watching the Ohio State game, but it's still done on such a stupid note, too. Stevie, that's where I feel like your frustration is, because the multiple times that I've continued to try to push this, that if you win out, you're going to get in as a one-loss Big Ten champion. You're most likely going to get in, but then it comes back to, dude, you lost to Illinois? Really? With Lovie Smith under that big now, white snowman beard?
But let's be honest about this. They can overcome the loss if they run the table, right? So you knock out all these ranked teams that you talked about.
Right.
You knock out Ohio State. You knock out
Iowa.
It's
an impressive run,
man. You knock out Minnesota. Then Big Ten championship game, you knock out Ohio State or Penn State again. I think you can be in the playoff. I agree with Billy that you can be in the playoff if you run the table because of all these ranked teams still on your schedule plus the Big Ten championship game. So I agree that, yes, that would put them in. I just don't believe they can run the table to that level and win out. I mean, that would be an unbelievable run for the Wisconsin Badger football program if they are able to run that type of table. And from a confidence standpoint you would have going into that Final Four matchup in the playoffs after having knocked off all those ranked teams on the road for the most part, or a neutral site, yeah, that's a big giddy up as you head into the playoffs.
I mean, it would be a run that you want to talk about it being incredible. You'd go on the road to Ohio State, you'd go on the road to Nebraska, and say what you want about that team, they're playing better, and that's still a hostile environment, especially if that game's at night. You go at Minnesota, who they're having their best season in what, 25, 30 years?
Mm-hmm. Long time.
Those are huge wins. I mean, there was a big story out today on ESPN.com about the 59-0 skunking that Ohio State put on Wisconsin in that 2014 Big Ten championship game, the first one,
yep,
with Cardale Jones. And going back to that year, it was the belief that Ohio State had lost early on in the season. They weren't going to be able to avenge that. They get in, and they run it with two huge wins, one over Alabama and then Oregon in the national championship game. And I think, and I've believed ever since then, that the committee understands how good of football they still play in the Big Ten and will not disrespect the Big Ten with one, an undefeated champion. If there's an undefeated Big Ten champion, that team is already cemented in as probably the 2 seed, maybe the 3 if there's undefeated Alabama and Clemson. With a one-loss team, they're going to have as good of a case as absolutely anybody, and if it's going to be either a one-loss Big Ten champion or a one-loss Alabama that maybe loses in the SEC title game, I think there's going to be a lot more conversation than there would be in years past because of what this conference has done once they get in. And maybe this is just pie in the sky, because if you lose at Illinois, how are you going to go and win in Columbus? I just think this game is a lot closer than what it believed to be 48 hours ago to me.
The history of betting suggests they have no chance in this game against Ohio State. And we talked about this the other day. They're like, what is it, like 1-7 The last eight times a top seven ranked team has lost to an unranked team or something like that the next week when playing another ranked team. I don't know all this hogwash betting stuff. But whatever. This all lines up based on all the numbers to say the Badgers are going to lose this football game, and they're not going to cover the spread either if you look at it from that perspective. JS tweets at the fan, theoretically, no. But realistically, yes. They need to win out and then get a lot of help. The SEC would need to work out for most of the competitive teams to either have two losses or be completely blown out by 24-plus points. Notre Dame would probably need another loss, etc.
And Notre Dame could get that loss this week. And that's what you need to hope for. You need to hope for the Michigan win to look as good as it can. You need Michigan State to play well on the way out. Like, you need all those games to show that those wins were bigger than what they do at this exact moment, because right now, Michigan looks embarrassing.
Yes. Straight Margarine tweets at the fan, an L on Saturday, and it is over. Can still be a good year, but with JT, meaning Jonathan Taylor, we needed a great one. You agree with that? That because you had Jonathan Taylor, who obviously Straight Margarine views as a special type talent,
sure,
you had to take advantage of it and get yourself to the playoffs.
Yes and no. I mean, but this is the same argument that we go back and forth with on the Super Bowls for Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. Is it wanted to have more than one Super Bowl with each of those guys? Yes. Is it a complete failure? Maybe. But when you look at how difficult it is to win titles, it's kind of along the way that it goes. I mean, it's that difficult to win titles, especially when Gary continues to lay out the competitive disadvantage that you kind of are in at Wisconsin. You are a much bigger program and a much better program than you were 15 years ago because of the work that you've done in the last 15 years. But you are still playing with a little bit more of a handicap situation like this. This is still equivalent to me to the Milwaukee Brewers going up against the sixth ranked payroll in the Washington Nationals, and you're sitting at 18.
Sure. Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that. I think part of what's hampering you is the educational part of it and what you need to have in order to play at Wisconsin versus
like
what you need.
It's like one foreign language class. It shouldn't be that big of a deal.
Well, you just brought up that kid the other day that played at Sun Prairie,
yeah,
the
Craig
defensive
Evans.
Lineman. Gary Anderson thought he had him lock, stock, and barrel. Couldn't get him in. He ended up going to Michigan State. And that happened with several players for Gary Anderson. So, yeah, Gary Anderson proved that I can get anybody to come play here. The problem is they can't get in academically, and that leads to problems. And then he said, deuces, I'm out. I'm not dealing with this anymore. I want to go somewhere where I have a chance to get whoever I want to come in here and play. And his career has went straight downhill.
Yeah,
since
and how's
Wisconsin.
That going?
Yeah, it's been horrible. But good for him. But that is something that he did prove and show to everybody was that, yeah, well, I can get guys, but I can't get them in, and nobody wants to move the line, you know, like Donna Shalala was willing to do back in the day to help Barry Alvarez. They're not necessarily willing to help Barry Alvarez anymore as athletic director in order to move it more to allow them to get more players in, and that does kind of work against this program. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's a bad program because they want better students in there. I'm not
right.
saying that. I'm just saying as far as
anything that makes it a better program.
As far as competing against these other elite schools like Alabama and Clemson and stuff like that, it does work against you.
We're going to get back into some Bucks conversation coming up at 4 o'clock.
About this year. No more Giannis at 4 o'clock.
Right. No, Bucks predictions for this season.
Right.
And then we're also going to have Eric Name at 4:48. John Horst, the Bucks general manager, comes up at 5:20. He's going to join us right here on the Wendy's Big Show. And we have the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show back on the air tonight after Bucks and Rockets. But we're going to hear from Ross Tucker, our Radio.com Sports NFL insider, next. Conversation we had with him, and where do guys from Princeton come from into the NFL? He tells you one of the best reasons why you go to Princeton and then go into the NFL. That comes up next, but first, Young Express.
Young Express company we talk about so much, continuing to grow. Are you looking for a new career? Would you like to be a part of a Christian-based, family-run company, a company that's been in business for over 27 years?
Man.
Of course you would. Currently looking to add to the dispatch and sales departments. That's older than you. Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. You've heard me talk about what a great company this is to work for. Now go and apply online at youngexpress.com. JUNGExpress.com. JUNGExpress.com. Would you like to work in the dispatch department? Of course you would. It's perfect for you, right? Good basic math skills. You got that. Be able to multitask. I struggle with that. Good phone skills, able to navigate a computer, and overall friendly disposition for dealing with a variety of customers and drivers. Experience desirable, but not necessary. They'll train the right individual. And just like that, you're part of the Young Express team. At Young Express, if they hire you, you get competitive hourly wage, paid holidays, vacation time, 401k with company match, and a health plan. Apply for the position that fits your passion right now at youngexpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. JUNGExpress.com. John Young and his crew, great people to go work for. Young Express, success drives them.
We're going to get into the World Series a little bit later on in the buzz, but some news coming out and breaking news on the Fan, brought to you by Radio.com Sports and Indeed.com. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. The Houston Astros finally firing assistant general manager Brandon Taubman, after his story comes out a couple of days ago with the incident after the ALCS in their clubhouse. So that story has finally come to a head and finally come to a justification and a justified conclusion, as Taubman has been fired by the Houston Astros. Yeah, sadly he will. That's a good way to put it. Definitely he will be at some point, because wins are more important than ethics, I guess.
I thought you were talking about Aaron Hicks having Tommy John surgery and being out for 8 to 10 months.
No, I mean,
that's a big loss for the
Really,
Yanks.
I think one of the craziest stories is how the straight drastic polar opposite turn of going from Hawaii, where it's bright sunshine and rainbows for a front office, to then going to Iceland, where you're froze out of everything, where your manager doesn't want you anywhere near the clubhouse, and hiring Joe Girardi. We'll get into all the baseball conversation once this all calms down. Football next with Ross Tucker, Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You gotta help me to make a stand. You just got to see me through another day. My body's aching and my time is at hand, and I won't make it any other way. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. I've been walking my mind to an easy time with my back turned towards the sun. Lord knows when the cold wind blows, it'll turn your head around now.
James Taylor on the Fan, 105.7 FM, 1280 AM, and the free radio.com app. That's what happens on Throwback Thursdays. You hear artists that you did not expect to hear on 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. You can vote at 105.7 FM, the Fan. Use the hashtag Big Throwback in your tweet for your nominee. Our nominee over on the other side of the glass, Anthony Mandela, won with James Taylor last week. He nominates the Bare Naked Ladies, Boys to Men, or Tommy James and the Shondells. Anthony, a voting update on the other side.
Tommy James and the Shondells.
How about
leading.
It? There you go. They're smart people in the city of Milwaukee.
No,
that's
they're voting
so.
Because of your dad.
Yeah, that's why they listen to the Fan.
With you. Right.
Because of my dad?
Well, your dad impersonation.
No, you said they're smart people in the city of Milwaukee. I said that's why they listen to the Fan.
Good job. Right. That would make sense. That is understandably so. There's also smart people that we have on the Fan, like Ross Tucker. This dude went to Princeton. He joins us each and every Wednesday, 2:48, talking NFL, or radio.com sports NFL insider. Ask him right off the bat, Ross, how stunned would you be if Patrick Mahomes actually plays who... Stevie, did you notice who... second day in a row, practiced for the Kansas City Chiefs today.
Yeah, and yesterday Patrick Mahomes was the fourth quarterback in line taking reps. Today he was the second quarterback in line taking reps and was moving a lot better, according to people watching him.
Saw those A skips, the B skips, knee was getting up on the high kicks.
Yeah, he looked fine to me.
Yeah, he's playing.
He's playing. He looked fine.
Ross Tucker, you believe that Patrick Mahomes should play on Sunday night against the Packers?
Well, first of all, I think there's a 0% chance that he plays Sunday night. And if he does play, I'll be the first one to say I was totally wrong. I'll also tell you that I think it's reckless if the Chiefs play him Sunday night, based on everything I've read. Now, look, I'm not a doctor, even though I know just to say slash instead of forward slash or backslash.
I'm not a doctor. Come on,
okay?
You went to
Princeton. I'll admit that I'm not a doctor. I have not examined him, but I've talked to a bunch of different doctors, including Dr. David Chow, who was like the Chargers team doctor for 20 years, and there's just no way they're going to play him Sunday night. I've made the argument that I'd be surprised, based on everything I've read and heard, if he came back before the bye. It sounds like there's a decent chance he's going to do that. But I've even made the argument, guys, if you really think long-term with it, based on what I've heard about the knee brace that he has to wear to keep the kneecap in place, I would strongly consider having the surgery now and sitting him the rest of the year. Because it's my understanding, and again, maybe I'm wrong, maybe the dude's Wolverine, I don't know, but supposedly he has to have surgery to stabilize that kneecap one way or the other, either now or after the season, and that with some rehab, he could potentially play with the knee brace on to keep the kneecap in place. I look at it and think, okay, if he's out for 3 to 5 weeks, by the time he comes back, and maybe you don't have to make the decision until then, but by the time he comes back, what are the odds that you could even get the number one or number two seed? And at that point, is it worth it to play him when he's clearly less than 100%, won't be as mobile, won't be the same guy, chance of injury, chance of recurrence? Is it worth playing him? Because then knowing you'd have to win 3 playoff games, 2 on the road, 1 in New England, because really at this point for that team, it's Super Bowl or bust, and then you're delaying him being ready for the next season. If I looked at Mahomes, if I was Clark Hunt, the owner of the Chiefs, like that is my precious, precious gem for the next 15 years, and I'm not sure, given everything I just laid out there, that I would risk putting it back out there this season.
Let's talk about the fact that if he goes out there and he does play and he's essentially a sitting duck, Leroy and I were talking about this earlier, as far as how you can attack that Kansas City offense if the defense knows he's a sitting duck, and then that offensive line and all the pressure that falls on it.
Right, and I'll say this too. Imagine being mobile like Mahomes your whole life.
Yep.
High school, you ever watch him? He was at Texas Tech. It was hilarious. He would just like run around and then throw these crazy bombs. Imagine having that your whole life, and then all of a sudden you don't have it all. I mean, guys, he already wasn't playing as well just with the high ankle injury. I mean, there's a reason why they had lost 2 games in a row. There's a reason why he had 1 touchdown pass, I believe, in those 2 games, after he had, I think, 157 the 5 games before that. I mean, the guy was not the same guy, and I'd be really, really hesitant to put him out there if he can't be as mobile as he's used to being, especially against the Packers with the way those guys are playing right now. I love the Smith brothers. I love how Mike Pettine is deploying them. And also, not just those guys, what makes the Packers so good, I'm a little surprised, by the way, the Raiders moved the ball as well as they did. I think Kenny Clark's the best nose tackle in the NFL. I don't think people realize how good Kenny Clark is or talk about him enough. That guy is nasty.
Well, let me ask you this, Ross. Are you surprised about the start that the Green Bay Packers have gotten off to?
Yeah, I am a little bit, because it seemed like early in the season they were struggling offensively and being carried by the defense, which I'm not sure I expected, although I have a lot of respect for Mike Pettine, and they did bring in some great new additions with Amos and Savage and both Smiths. But what's really weird to me about it is it's kind of flipped. Like, now it feels like the defense isn't quite playing as well, but the offense has picked up the slack in some of these games. I mean, even the Eagles game, the game that they lost, you know, the offense really gave them a great chance other than getting bogged down in the red zone. They could, as you guys know, very easily be undefeated. And that's probably the most impressive part of this Packers team so far, is that even when the defense maybe isn't at its best, like the second half of the Cowboys, the offense has done their part enough such that the team still wins. I mean, the Raiders, you had the Carr fumble, you had getting stuffed at the goal line. I mean, you know, you give the defense credit for that, but they still let them move the ball down the field. You had that horrendous interception late by Carr. But my point is the defense let the Raiders move the ball pretty well, but the game wasn't even close because of the offense. They are picking up the slack for the other seemingly every week. So, yeah, that's hard to do. You know that, LaRue. I mean, it's really hard when it seems like one unit starts to falter. The other unit's like, don't worry about it. We got you. We'll handle this game. And it seems like the Packers almost go back and forth in that regard. It's really impressive.
Talking with our Radio.com Sports NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Follow him on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL. He's going to join us each and every Wednesday throughout the football season at 2:48.
Ross, I got two questions. The first one, what's it like knowing you went to Princeton? I always wanted to know what that's like. I mean, to walk around with that pee on your, like, your sweater or your Letterman jacket. Man, what's that feel like to be one of the smartest guys in the world? What's that like?
Tell Coming me. From a guy that went to
well,
Florida
okay,
State.
So right. I'm glad you said that. And this is LaRue talking, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, LaRue. Because all I ever wanted in my whole life was to know what it was like to be big man on campus at Florida State.
You're right. I think that's fair.
In all sincerity, it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny, LaRue. You guys will appreciate this, right? Because you're up there with Wisconsin. I love Wisconsin, by the way. I still can't believe they lost that game. That's a whole other story.
I know, right?
Everybody's
but
talking
growing
about
up, where I grew up in Pennsylvania, legitimately, all I ever wanted to do was play football for Penn State. And then I was only 210 pounds as a junior in high school.
Oh.
So they asked me to walk on, but my scholarship offers were like William & Mary in Delaware. And I just thought, man, if I can go to Princeton or Harvard because of football, I'm from Reading, Pennsylvania. People from Reading, Pennsylvania do not go to the Ivy League. When I got letters from Harvard and Princeton, my dad laughed and was like, yeah, right, you're not smart enough to go there. And then I realized if they want you for football, I realized if they want you for football, you know, that helps a lot.
They say you're smart enough.
Okay? I know you guys probably take the ACT out there, right?
Oh, yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
I'm no joke, okay? I had 1360 SATs and was like 28th in my class, which is really good. The valedictorian, and I only even had to actually apply to two schools, Harvard and Princeton. I got into both. And yes, football helped tremendously.
The
valedictorian in my high school, okay, all he ever wanted to do was go to Harvard or Princeton. He had 1550 SATs. He did not get into either school.
Ooh.
My year. I said to him, I said, hey, his name was Richard Ewan. I said, hey, Richard, you know, while you were fooling around studying, I was lifting weights trying to get into the best colleges. You know what? It's funny now looking back on it, because then when I made the NFL as a rookie with the Redskins in 2001, we actually played out there. We played Green Bay right after the September 11th game. We played it on Monday night, and they fired Jeff George the day after the game. He was our starting quarterback. It was crazy. That was my rookie year. But I'll never forget, all the guys for the Redskins were like, man, you got to go to Princeton and you still made the NFL? So I didn't redshirt. You know, I didn't redshirt. They don't redshirt in the Ivy League.
No.
So it was pretty cool. I would say it's not the hardest part's getting in. Once you're actually there, you have to just make sure that you keep up with it, meet with the teachers and stuff. But the hardest part, obviously, is getting in. But it's a great feeling, especially like when you go to other colleges and you're scoping out girls. We used to call it the P-bomb.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Where do you go to school? Where do you go to school? Oh, I go to Princeton. Because they hear that, their eyeballs, dollar signs, bro. Dollar signs in their eyeballs when you drop the P-bomb.
I like
when you drop the P-bomb, that's Ross Tucker. More of that comes up each and every Wednesday at 2:48. Our Radio.com Sports NFL insider, Ross Tucker, is going to join us each and every week throughout the football season, talk NFL with our two former Packers. And as you just heard there's going to be a lot of great football conversation and a lot of fun. And you can have a lot of fun, you know what, with $1,000. This is your chance to win $1,000 in our $1,000 roster bonus. All you need is this hour's cash keyword. It is Arrow, A-R-R-O-W. Text Arrow, A-R-R-O-W to 72881. Message and data rates do apply before 4 o'clock. Text it quick now, but make sure to not text and drive. We love you, so we want you to be around for the 4 o'clock keyword, as well as tomorrow when we start up at 9 o'clock for your next chances to win $1,000. And I just have been informed we're extending it for another week. One more week of $1,000 comes up. It starts up on Monday morning at 9 a.m.
I mean, it's a national contest, obviously.
Right.
But they're taking some of that out of the Max, Super Max.
My Super Max?
Next year. They said that you'd be okay with it because you're a team player.
Oh, well, they probably also lost a lot of viewers in China because they couldn't air opening night of the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show tonight over in China. That's why I'm losing some of that money for Supermax, right?
Folks, better listen. That salary cap's going down if they don't get this thing fixed.
It's big time.
It's going to go down.
It's
going to
be
losing
a lot
of money.
It's so funny. It's just so dumb. Like, how on earth? There was a kid at the Clippers game 2 nights ago. Sorry, I know we're late for a break, and we're going to hear from Mike Clemens coming up here in a minute. But there was a kid at the Clippers-Lakers game. I don't know if you saw this video online, where he baited the cameraman in the arena, just on the Jumbotron or whatever, by, like, holding up and waving an L.A. Clippers T-shirt, right? Like, yeah, go Clippers, go Clippers. And then as the camera goes on him, he pulls the Clippers shirt down. Kid couldn't have been more than 9 years old. And starts waving the shirt that says, stand with Hong Kong, you know, stand for freedom.
Oy.
Fight for freedom. And they're like, whoa, we should probably take that off. We don't want anybody else mad
that
at us.
That is crazy.
Still on Eric Games over there. So they're going to lose a lot of money. You're 1,000% right. Eric Name is going to talk about the basketball side of it. That's just fun basketball side. Eric Name comes up at 4:48. John Horst, general manager of your Milwaukee Bucks, at 5:20. But next, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and I are going to put our money where our mouths are. Our season predictions for the Milwaukee Bucks next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.